Well, good afternoon, fellow Wahoos and ACC fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood.
Apparently, I'm not funny anymore.
No, I took that out.
You know, the classic Hobbo humor.
They said it in the opening.
Oh.
It's implied.
I figure we're not funny on a 4-8 year last year. This year, it'll be funnier if we win 8 or 9 games.
That's what I say. Anyhow, we're glad to be back for season 5. Who believes, right, Hobbo?
Yeah, most people didn't think we'd make 5 shows. Now we've made 5 years.
It's good to be back in the studio. We've got Chris Sill with us again, and we're delighted he's back.
Good to be back.
Yeah. Wahoo fans know that we go behind the scenes to examine the UVA athletic program.
And by the way, that was a close call to bring Chris back.
Yeah, it's tight. Had to bribe him. Lots of beer. Tonight
he had to bribe us. What do you mean we had to bribe him?
It works both ways. Anyhow, tonight we will preview UVA's upcoming home opener versus Brigham Young. The Cougars are very good, and this is going to be a big game this Saturday, 3:30 kickoff, Scott Stadium. We're also going to discuss Mike London's program and where he is at this particular time and how the team looks. And really, in general, just the importance of winning this season opening game against a very strong, top 25 rated Brigham Young. Because guess what? Week 2, we've got the number 3 rated Oregon Ducks coming to Charlottesville. And who believes that? Anyhow, we're glad that you've joined us.
Who believes they're coming to Charlottesville? That's or who right. believes they're number 3 in the country?
Either one.
At any rate, welcome back. As Frank said, season 5. So we're happy to be back in the saddle here. Who's talking, ready to go and talk a lot of football in the weeks to come. Tonight, speaking of football, a UVA legend who was in the broadcast booth, I forget, it was 25-plus years, I think, but Frank Quayle, he's kind of been an opening guest for us here in the last 2 or 3 years, but Frank's going to join us shortly. And then second half hour tonight, we have the Sabres' Chris Wright. He will help us break down the Hoos and maybe even talk a little bit about BYU. And then our friend Dr. Jody Smith will join us for a couple of minutes and update some of our apparently shoulder problems. We got a lot of shoulder problems over there, and Jody is a shoulder guy, I think. At any rate, and then next week and weeks to come, we're talking Aaron Brooks. Chris Horn, I think, will be on next week's show to update kind of the recruiting news, of which there's a lot. And a frequent guest in the past, UVA former linebacker John Copper, will join us next week as well. So there are several ways to follow the show, and Chris will outline those right now.
You're going to let me? Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
It's an opportunity.
I'm honored.
This it's an
honor.
Opportunity.
I had to bribe him back on the show. And
don't blow it.
Let me talk. Okay.
Don't blow it.
Great.
This is your last audition.
All right, guys, go ahead.
Thank goodness you know my best friend is Ben Franklin. You know, and I like a lot of pictures of Ben.
I wouldn't pay George Washington, all right? To call into the show, guys, it's 345-0910. You can also follow it. We're streaming live, sportsradio910.com. and thesaber.com. We've set up a Facebook page, so search Who's Talking, become a fan. Questions and comments are welcome. Anything making fun of Jim Hobgood or Frank is welcome.
Well, nothing about me. Just talk about Jim.
Absolutely. But at any rate, all right. I get to ask you all a couple of questions. All right, Mr. Maloney, give me the lowdown on the depth chart. Any news coming out of? I know you listened to Coach London's press conference a little bit ago. Did the coach have any special news related to Saturday's game?
You know, a couple of things are very interesting. The depth chart has finally been released, and there seems to be some slight fluidity, I think, due to a couple of injuries that are not end-of-the-season type things. They're sort of nagging, knick-knack type injuries. But it looks like Zach Swanson will probably start at tight end as Jake McGee gets over a little shoulder stinger. McGee has been held back a little bit in some of the recent practices over the last 2 weeks, but you know, maybe Jake gets healthy this week and we see more of Jake, particularly on passing downs, I'm hoping, this coming Saturday. There's a little bit of a jumble here at center. Ross Burbank, 6'4", 290, looks to be the starter, but Jackson Mateo beat him out during spring ball, but has had an upper torso injury, which we suspect is a shoulder problem. Both men are about the same size. They're both about the same age. But looks like Burbank is going to get the start against the Cougars. One thing we're excited about is Morgan Moses is back. He's going to get his degree. He's on schedule to get his degree.
Big Mo.
Meadowbrook product. And a great guy, great sense of humor. He's in shape. He's only 6'6", 335. Darius Jennings is going to be playing a wide receiver, and hopefully he's going to hang on to some of those deep throws. Tim Smith at the other wide receiver is a senior, and we're hoping he can stay healthy and play every game because he's apparently the fastest player on the team. Kevin Parks, 5'8", 205. The guy is built like a truck, can hit the hole, get the yards. David Watford is their starting quarterback. I think they put all the doubts to rest. We pretty much knew at the spring game David Watford was going to be in the starter, particularly when we could once we found out that Phil Sims was having academic issues.
Now, is he the key to the team this year, how Watford performs?
No two questions about it. In college football, you can only go as far as your quarterback. I mean, you know, I think maybe in a few exceptions, you know, back in the days, Oklahoma used to have a running quarterback a lot of times who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with a pass. But
well, and LSU's gotten away with it in years. They've had
a bunch of
no-name quarterbacks because of that defense.
I agree, but they usually have these monster offensive lines that just bulldoze people out of the way. And Alabama, you know, I think their quarterback is a fine young man, and he can hit the open receiver. I don't think he's Joe Namath.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is, I mean, Virginia's got some good running backs, and they've got good receivers.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, if he can get him the football, he's also got some guys that can, you know, yardage after the catch.
Well, speaking about one player we need to mention is Billy Skrobax, who earned a scholarship this year. He's a deep run product. And very exciting that this young man earned a scholarship. And it looks to me like he will split time at fullback, possibly even start. And that's exciting. It's great to see a kid who works hard earn his way into the lineup and get it done. On the defensive side of the ball, Jake Snyder, one of the team captains, he's also a deep run player. He should be all set to lead the way at one defensive end. Brent Urban, a.k.a. the Urbanator, is a senior Canadian football player, 6'7", 300. David Dean is the other tackle, and Eli Harold, the highly rated defensive end, who's really a speed rusher. We've got three new linebackers, Daquan Romero, Henry Coley, Dimitri Brim. The secondary are all veterans, Demetrius Trey Nicholson, Anthony Harris from the Richmond area, Brandon Phelps, and Draquan Hosky, and Maurice Kennedy is the nickelback. You've got excellent defensive backs. Well, we got a caller. I think it's Richard in Glen Allen. Richard, what have you got to say?
Yeah, would you guys just talk a little bit about our new assistant coaches and how they might help us in especially on offense and like late day game situations, the problems we had against TCU and back last year.
All right, that's a loaded question there. Coach Fairchild is, you know, he's a very proven man. You know, he'd been a head coach, he'd been the offensive coordinator in a bunch of different places. You've also got John Tenuta is come back to his school, University of Virginia, and he's coached about 10 schools. So, as the defensive coordinator, there's nothing he hadn't seen. I think you're going to see a calmness on the sidelines, better orchestration in all phases of the game. Larry Lewis, the special teams coach, if Virginia is not one of the top 50 special teams in the country this year, I'll be surprised. This guy knows his stuff. He's been around, has coached at a number of schools and been very successful.
How many BCS schools are there? Like 115?
Well, he's been to a bunch of them. Tom O'Brien has been a very successful head coach. He was an unbelievable position coach at Virginia and a terrific offensive coordinator. You know, I think this team is going to be so much better prepared week to week to week.
And any
thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to add, you know, John Tenuta was the defensive coordinator for about 5 years in the early to mid-2000s. And I saw an analysis that showed what their recruiting rankings were for all those years, and they were somewhere in the 50s or 60s, but they consistently were in the top 25 in all categories for defense. So I think hopefully that kind of thing says that we got a lot of opportunity with these coaches. They can do a lot with a little bit less.
So. All right, gentlemen, I think we're going to take our first break right now. We're going to try to get Frank Quayle on the line. So when we come back after these messages, hopefully we'll visit with former Virginia All-American Frank Quayle. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. It's Who's Talking, Season 5, Show 1, and we are joined now by a man that really needs no introduction, Frank Quayle, All-American ACC Player of the Year. He was Athlete of the Year, I think one of five male athletes of the year in Virginia history, so that's select company. And did a lot of games on the radio. Frank, I forget, was it 26, 27 years? How long did you do that?
Actually, 29 years.
29 years. Well, just I was thinking the other day, you may have seen more games in person than any person alive, you know, between the ones you played in and the ones you broadcast and have just gone to. But anyway, we're glad you have joined us, and I think Frank's over here chewing at the bit to get some questions to you. So, Frank, go ahead.
All right, so Frank, Kevin Parks, he's now the featured tailback at Virginia. What do you expect from him this year?
Well, you know, cautious in saying, because a year ago I thought the strength of the Cavalier football team was going to be the running game, and the running game ended up being just terrible. So to me, you know, it's the offensive line, and Kevin will have a great year if the offensive line gets its act together, but they've got to show me they can do that, because they were abysmal a year ago, and on paper, they don't look as strong going into this season. They lose the Sean Tescarano guy, which is a shame. And, of course, they lost the Bushi to the pros. And so it's going to be some youngsters who are going to have to step up and show they can play the game and surprise us. And we're going to have the great offensive line, or the good offensive line, if Kevin Parks is going to have a great year.
All right, so much has been discussed concerning Virginia's schedule this year, which is rated number 27 in the nation. On the surface, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I was caught off guard, particularly with the Oregon game. I understood, you know, BYU, you're going to have games like that, and I think they're positives. But taking on the number 3 team in the country and second game of the year, that's a big hill for the young Cavalier team to climb.
Frank, and by the way, this is Frank Quayle, a former Cavalier great, joining us on air tonight. We talked with Frank Maloney just a few minutes ago about David Watford, and this team, maybe it'll go as far as David Watford can carry them. How far do you think that is?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, the game has become so quarterback-dominated, and Virginia has not had the great quarterback or the very good quarterback in a number of years. It looked like they maybe were going to have one with Michael Rocco, and just a debacle of things happened, and yet no one should be to blame for what happened. They all made good decisions that turned out, sadly, poorly. David Watford, you know, I'm a show-me guy. His first year, and I think that he shouldn't have been put out on the field, as a true freshman, particularly at the quarterback spot. But he didn't show us much. One of the challenges for him was that every opposing team knew that when he went in there, he only had a few package of plays, and they were going to include scrambling, and they were going to include the option, and so they were set to stop him, and they did. So now he's, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, and I'm hopeful, but I've got to, you know, see him produce out there.
You know, an interesting thing has occurred in the last couple of years. Virginia has actually stockpiled some terrific receivers, a couple of really nice tight ends. Darius Jennings is very fast. Tim Smith is fast. Dominique Terrell is equally fast. And then you've got Jake McGee and, at tight end. So isn't this almost the perfect scenario for Virginia to surprise people if the O-line can give him some time?
Yeah, and those are the two big things. But I agree that I think that the skill positions are probably as strong as Virginia has had in 12, maybe 15 years. So they're ready to go there, but you know, it's going to be dependent on the offensive line getting the job done and how talented their quarterback is.
Frank, what do you think about defense? New coordinator, I think they're going to try to generate a few turnovers this year, which certainly would help given the turnover ratio for Virginia in recent years hasn't been good, and I think that's been one of their problems.
Yeah, so I think John Tenuto is a great addition, and all the steps that have been taken, I think they're positive. It's just how long it's going to take them to reap rewards. And Tenuto, if I understand it correctly, that he's a scheme-oriented guy, that he has been doing a lot of different things. And he's got a defense that there are only two seniors on it. There's probably a lot of talent, and they're going to be good. But in the first two games of the year, is it possible that they can take on an extraordinarily high learning curve and not make a lot of mistakes and do the things that his defense that you have to do? And in some ways, you know, you don't have to be as disciplined in his defense. You're given an assignment to explode through a certain hole, and then you can do it as aggressively as possible. And I think the players love that. But there certainly is a learning curve, and can they get it done and show the rewards of that good defense the first few games?
We're speaking,
it's a question mark for me.
We're speaking with Frank Quayle, number 24 in the program from the old days, but number one in everybody's hearts. Frank,
well, certainly his wife. That's in his wife's heart, you know, nobody else.
Well, I don't know. Well, I think there's a lot of Wahoo fans that like to see him put his jersey back on and come back. Frank, interesting the way recruiting has gone over the last 3.5 years. Virginia has been, you know, ranked these last 3 years in the top 25 every year, and he's amassing talent. How close is Virginia to being back in the top 20 category of teams in the nation?
Yeah, and I really have no idea. I do have to say this: I am a Coach London fan. He is a good person. Not just a good person. He's a wonderful person. The parents just, you know, love him. His faith, family, and football is just and he believes it to his core. So you've got to root for the guy. You want the good guys to win, and he is a good guy. So how close are they to getting into the top 20? You know, it certainly won't be. I'm skeptical about what's going to happen this year. I would love to see us have that surprise season. And we clearly are growing in talent in an extraordinary way, but we have to get the quarterback position stabilized and have a real talent there if you're going to move into the upper echelon in the ACC. And so that's the major question for me right now.
Frank, this is Frank Quayle, by the way, for those just joining us. You're sounding a wee bit cautious here.
Yeah, and I think
if you could identify two or three things that have to happen for Virginia to have that positive, surprising year, what would they be?
Yeah, they have to find themselves a quarterback who is very talented, that, you know, is one of the better quarterbacks that they've had in the 2000s, honestly. They've got to get an offensive line. I think they've got the skill positions. And defense, they've got a lot of guys that are these young recruits that were extraordinary in high school, that the sky's the limit for what they can do, but they've got to do it. But right now, it's talk, and even the guys, Eli Harrods last year, that, you know, they're wonderful talents, but they weren't great football players last year.
Right.
They just didn't have the experience, the exposure to the game, the fast pace of the game. And so can they get that done this year on defense? Sure hope that they can, but, they've got to show me.
You know, wouldn't you almost anticipate that this team will improve week to week to week, and the team that takes the field in the last 4 or 5 games will start to see the things that are foreshadowing what 2014 will be?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, but I look back to last year, and you know, the Georgia Tech game set them back dramatically.
Yes.
And I have fears that the Oregon game could do that. That just young, trying to come in with a new defense, and they're going to come up against the most talented team they've come up against in a
long time.
In a long time.
All right, well, we are headed to break here in about 30 seconds. Frank, give us your best prediction for UVA versus Brigham Young.
Yeah, it is a big, big, big game. I know everybody talks about that, and there are a lot of big games this coming Saturday. But this is an important game for this team. And, you know, I think it could go down to...
Final kick?
Yeah, but it's a three-point game or a seven-point game, and getting some breaks and making some things happen, and hopefully being at home. And
Frank, we're going to break. Thank you so much.
Yeah, enjoy talking to you guys.
Take care.
All right, welcome back. Who's talking tonight? This is our second half hour. I hope you were with us in the first half hour. We talked a little football. We had Frank Quayle on, and we're going to be joined momentarily by our friend Chris Wright, the editor of the Saber. And certainly if you're a Virginia fan, you don't need to be told about the Saber. Saber, an important part of following the Hoos for, they started mid-90s? I'm trying to think when the Saber started, 95, 96?
Let's ask Chris.
Like. We'll ask the expert here momentarily. And, of course, the Saber has been one of our original sponsors or founding sponsors from the outset of Hoos Talking, now in year five. So, at any rate, I think we got Chris on the line. Are you with us, Chris?
How are you guys doing?
That's right. He's having dinner as we speak. No, but or maybe grabbing a little snack. And of course, I forgot the most important thing. He's the women's basketball coach at Western Albemarle High School. You know.
Well, he's actually taking care of a baby, which is hilarious.
Well, that's his most important responsibility. But certainly, being a basketball coach, that's all basketball. I'll talk about tonight.
You know, sure.
We'll back to football.
See, you know, you can't keep him focused at all. Mm-hmm. Chris, Mike London had a very important press conference today. Gets him in his regular routine, the Monday 3 o'clock press conference. And what did you make of that, and what key points did you pick up from that?
Yeah, we have so much access in the preseason that by the time this first press conference rolls around, there's not a whole lot new to talk about in terms of Virginia. Yeah. So it ends up being a lot of talk about whoever the first opponent is, and of course that's BYU this year. But with that said, there are a couple little depth chart nuggets that come out that first week, and the one that caught people's attention the most today was Jake McGee was listed third at tight end after tying for the team lead in touchdowns last year. So we got to hear thoughts on that, but Coach London said that he wouldn't read too much into it, that all three tight ends are going to play a lot, and that's really just how it was listed out, really maybe as much because of a shoulder injury that McGee had throughout training camp as much as anything else.
Which was probably the most protected injury news at UVA in years.
Yeah, no, it was originally said it was a stinger, and then today he kind of said it was a shoulder stinger of sorts, whatever that means. but yeah, they kind of kept that hush-hush for most of camp.
Well, big things are still expected of that young man, and he is he's no longer a high school kid. He told me himself on Media Day that when he arrived at Virginia, he was 6'5", is that what he's listed?
6'6".
6'6", and he weighed 205. He now weighs north of 250. So he swallowed a Volkswagen Beetle somewhere. And
well, when I arrived at Virginia, I was 6'4", and about 205, and we won't talk about how much I weigh.
That's why you need to be at Zacharias Gainey. Couldn't help
maybe
that.
I could play tight end.
Yeah. You could do something, maybe offensive tackle. Yeah. Chris, talk to us a little bit about the new linebackers. I think that's a big issue for this team, and also the offensive line.
Yeah, no, looking at linebacker first, the first string has been pretty much known for a few weeks now, with Henry Coley being the starting middle linebacker, taking over, of course, for Steve Greer. Coley played on the outside last year, but before that, when he first got to Virginia, he was in the middle, so he's kind of back home. Daquan Romero, who split time with Coley last year, is a starting outside linebacker. He flipped from strong side to weak side, but still on the outside. And then the third guy is Dimitri Brehm, a kid out of Florida that played as a true freshman last year. So those three have been pretty much known. The one surprise today in terms of the second string listed on paper, at least, was true freshman Zach Bradshaw. So he's listed behind Brehm on the strong side for now, ahead of Mark Hall. So that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. Will Bradshaw play as a true freshman or not? Which takes us straight to the offensive line. The other question you asked about, that there are two true freshmen listed on the two deep on the offensive line. So seven true freshmen listed overall, two of them on the offensive line. But the battle that really kind of took a turn when Jackson Mateo got hurt was starting center. You know, Mateo was listed as the starting center coming out of spring. Well, yeah. Ross Burbank is now going to start the opener. So that's something that has changed over the last few weeks.
Well, Virginia appears to be a left-handed offensive line with Morgan Moses, the preseason All-American, and Luke Bowanko, who seems like he's 30 years old, playing the left guard. He's played right guard, center, and now he's left guard. The right side of the line has been rebuilt a little bit. Connor Davis played a lot last year. He's coming back from knee and shoulder surgeries, and his coach called him brave in a teleconference. Scott Wackenheim gave him high marks for his recovery and his weightlifting prowess. And Jay Whitmire, a sophomore, I think he came from T.C. Williams, if I'm not mistaken, number 77, 6'6", 300. So Virginia is a pretty big offensive line. The question is, can the right side of the line keep David Watford standing up vertical so he can throw the ball?
Yeah, the key is from center to the right. Yeah. The left side looks like it's pretty strong with those two guys and a lot of experience over there. Connor Davis played a lot at left guard last year. He's now at right guard.
Yep.
So he's at least played some. Ross Burbank played some last year. You know, he's going to be the starting center, it looks like, at least for now. So those two positions are the big two to me. Whitmire actually hasn't played much, but he's actually the least worrisome of that trio to me. I think he's going to get the job done. He's really athletic, and they've been talking about him since he first got here. He's just kind of followed the normal development path that linemen tend to follow before they actually get in a game.
So Virginia has a tried-and-true tailback. I think Doug Dowdy of the Roanoke Times did some calculating, and he determined that Kevin Parks, number 25 in your program, has the most yardage from scrimmage in his first 2 years of carrying the ball of any Virginia running back in history. I don't know that that's accurate, but I know that he did an article about that.
I think he's second behind, I think, Thomas Jones, at this point in his career, but it's real close. He's in the top two.
Okay. So he's a known entity. Now, they've moved Kalik Shepard, who is really a kickoff returner, into the number two spot, and basically they ran off Clifton Richardson, or Clifton just got that message and left and went to Liberty. But that opens the door for number four, a.k.a. Smoke Mizell. And what do you think of him when you've seen him in practice?
Yeah, he's the real deal, and the players all say the same thing. And that's usually where you can really get a good sense of if somebody's hype or if somebody's legitimate. If the players kind of give you the nod as soon as you get here within one or two practices, you're pretty legit usually. And that's been happening with Mizell from the first week of practice all the way through today. Kevin Parks was bragging about him today, even in stuff like pass protection, being an impressive freshman. So I think Virginia fans are going to be tickled with that young man. You know, he's the first five-star recruit to come here since Eugene Monroe. So here's a guy that's probably going to make an impact and make it quickly, I think probably as soon as this Saturday.
Well, they better throw him the ball because he can. I don't think they can cover him in space. He out on the perimeter. If Watford can just dump the ball out to him, this guy can move.
Elusive, yeah. Is that the right word?
Correct.
Elusive, the right word. And I think those two guys in that read option spread fake handoff stuff.
Yes.
Who do you take? Do you take Watford or do you take Mizell? And if you make the wrong choice and leave a seam, both of those guys have a lot of straight line speed. So it's going to be fun to watch for Virginia fans, I think, as long as the offensive line, and we've been saying this for months, as long as the offensive line can get the job done, at least at a serviceable level.
Yeah, and by the way, this is Chris Wright from the Sabre visiting. When Frank Quayle was talking about the offensive line, too, and I'm a hoops guy. Tell me, what makes the offensive line serviceable or not?
Yeah, no, I'll put it in hoops terms for you. If you don't play five-man defense in basketball, you give up a lot of dunks. Well, if you don't play five-man blocking as an offensive line, you give up a lot of sacks. It's very similar. They have to be able to work together. It's not so much that individually they're not big enough or are talented enough or experienced enough. It's can the five guys together communicate and identify what's going on well enough to keep that pocket clean for the quarterback or to open up holes for the running back.
So it's both really, run blocking really, and pass blocking then. Both run and pass blocking.
Oh, yeah, no, it's both. Last year, really inconsistent in the run blocking area. Got a little better, I thought, in pass protection as the season went on last year, but really struggled opening up holes in the running game. So we'll see if they've corrected that or not. If they haven't, it could be another struggle for the offense this season.
Now, one thing is certain, though, the tight ends should be terrific. Zach Swanson and Rob Burns, both are two big, healthy boys. Both of them 6'6", 6'7", 250, 255. They're going to help that offensive line block, as will the Connor Wingo Reeves, a Richmond area product, and Billy Scrobacks. They're only in there to block. So hopefully they can keep those people off David Watford. All right, we have got a jump. We've got Dr. Jody Smith joining us in a few minutes, but as always, Chris Wright, great job. We always enjoy working with you, and we're excited about the season, and we'll have you back here in a couple of weeks.
Thanks a bunch, and of course, your archives are on our site, so people can always go back and listen to any of the first four seasons or anything from this season as we go along.
Well, we appreciate that as well, and listen, you have a great night, and stay with us. All right, we're gonna go to break here in just a moment, and when we come back, we're going to bring on Dr. Jody Smith with the injury report, and then do the Olympic Sports Report with Chris Sill. So stay with us. You're listening to Who's Talking.
All right, welcome back. Who's Talking? Hobo Frank and Chris, thanks for joining us tonight and talk a little bit about next week. Two special guests next week, former Virginia star quarterback Aaron Brooks and former UVA linebacker John Copper. So we'll have offense and defense covered next week.
And then Aaron was the prognosticator of prognosticators with David Watford.
That's right.
He was starter. On this show, he called that, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did.
And we thought he was nuts, but he obviously knew what he was talking about, which, you know, you would think that given his
former NFL quarterback.
That's right. He knows what he's doing. And then, of course, next week we will also have one of our Ortho Virginia specialists, Dr. Gordy Rawls, Thorpe Davis, Vince Dalton, or Dr. David Nediff. And, of course, Dr. Jody Smith will be joining us here momentarily.
So looking forward to next week's show. Aaron and John have been terrific guests for us over the last few years. Let's do the LeClaire-Ryan play of the game, Hobo.
And as I questioned, we haven't had a play of the game yet, but you're saying the play of the game came during the preseason camp.
It sure did. I would say that Hampton's David Watford earns this recognition as he beat out a number of other capable quarterbacks for the starting job. And as the Hoos are readying for Brigham Young in the home opener this Saturday at 3:30, hats off to him because I think last year he redshirted and that had to be a tough situation for him to take that because he had played some as a true freshman. And for him not to buck the system and go running tail between his legs, he studied harder. He worked harder in the weight room. Apparently one of the stronger guys on the team. Did more film study and earned the trust of his teammates. And we're going to find out if they're going to play hard for him because he needs his teammates to play hard this year. And I know Mike London is hoping that he plays a little bit like Sean Moore.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, everybody talks about his leadership skills and the respect, as you say, and the regard his teammates have for him, which is important as a quarterback.
All right, I see that the line is blinking, so I believe that Dr. Jody Smith is on the line. Let's bring Jody on. Jody, are you there?
How are you, Frank?
Terrific. Hey, I'm so glad that you're back with us. I know Jim and Chris and I were delighted to hear your voice. So, Jody, a number of things. It was revealed today at the 3 o'clock press conference with Coach London that Jake McGee had a shoulder stinger thing. So, so they have kept this under wraps for almost 10 to 12 days, and they've got Jake listed as the third tight end when, in fact, we all know he's the number one tight end.
Shoulder stinger thing. I thought Thing was a star on the Addams Family.
That's exactly correct. Good one, Hobo. Hobo just dated all of us. Anyway, what do you think of that whole shoulder stinger thing, and what might that be, Jody?
So typically a stinger is a neck injury, and what happens is the neck gets forced in one direction or the other in such a way that it stretches out one of the nerves that goes into the arm. And normally it's a fairly quick thing. It happens. The arm kind of has a dead feeling, and then it'll recover fairly quickly. There's not really any residual problem. The difficulty comes if that doesn't happen, if the stretch is significant enough that there's residual numbness and tingling, or more significantly, if there's residual weakness, then we typically do more of a thorough workup, get an x-ray or an MRI of the neck to make sure there's no congenital problem. And then return is based on when the symptoms are gone and the strength comes back. And so the fact that they held him out, to me, would indicate that more than likely he had residual symptoms from the stinger, and as a result of that, they were waiting for that to clear before bringing him back. And if he's not listed as out, I think that probably the reason he's the third tight end is just because he hasn't had playing time or practice time.
It's a big deal because, you know, Jake is such a game-changing type of tight end. He makes big catches, can score in the red zone, and gets the big third down plays for the quarterback. So hopefully he heals fast. Jackson Mateo at center beat out everybody to be the starter, and then he hurt his shoulder, we suspect. Typically, with a shoulder, a minor shoulder injury, which they've got him listed as the second center on the offensive line. What's involved there, Jody?
More than likely, he had some sort of a strain, and a lot of times we'll call them subluxations, where the shoulder gets pushed a little further than it's supposed to go. As a result of that, the muscles around it get inflamed and they get weak, and so it just return basically is dependent on how long it takes the strength to come back. And the risk involved in playing someone too early is if you put them back there too quickly, they can have a more serious injury as a result of not having their strength. And so, again, I think what they're looking at is his strength good enough for him to come back and play? If they're putting him out there as a number two in the depth chart again, he's got to be pretty close.
Good, good. Well, I don't think we have any time for others, but Will Wahi had a knee injury, ACL tear. Tim Harris from Verona has a groin injury, which apparently is healing up quickly. Dimitri Brim, a linebacker, has a hamstring issue, but that seems to be going away. And unfortunately for Sean Cascarano, a guard, he had a bad hip injury, and they believe he's out. And he may be, they say they may have to do more surgeries, and so his career as a football player may be over, which is sad. But listen, we want to thank you and all the other doctors, Gordy Rawls, Thorpe Davis, Vince Dalton, and David Nediff, and our good friend Susan Johnson for all the support that you guys have given us over the last 4.5 years, and looking forward to a big season this year with you guys.
We're glad to be back, guys.
All right. Yeah, welcome back, and thank you.
All right, you have a great night, and we're now going to do the Olympic Sports Report with our good friend Chris Sill. Take it away, Chris.
All right, guys, now just some alumni news. Jarrett Parker, who is a left UVA, sorry about that, left UVA 2010, is playing on the Richmond Flying Squirrels, had a home run in a win last night against Altoona, along with a walk-off home run late last week, and he has 17 home runs for the season. He's having a great year. His teammate at UVA, who also left UVA the same year into the draft, Phil Gosselin, was called up due to injuries to the Atlanta Braves last week, and he got some action at second base and some at-bats playing in Atlanta. So big news for him.
And did he get lucky at the right time?
No kidding.
I mean, they're streaking to the playoffs.
Yeah, he's in a good spot. Samdev Devarman made the main draw of the U.S. Open, and four other UVA tennis players are going to be playing in the tournament, in the doubles tournament. And then we have five former rowers heading to the World Rowing Championships. It's the 10th time in 11 years UVA has at least one rower in it, and this is the most in any one year.
And, you know, Habo loves that women's crew team, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I just I can hardly wait for spring so we can start breaking that down.
All right. So women's soccer.
Yeah, women's soccer crushed number 7 in the country, Santa Clara 4-0 in the Klockner Classic this past weekend. They also beat VCU 4-2. The women are ranked number 9 to start the season. Some sports in Seville this weekend. Men's soccer is playing Louisville on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Women's soccer, rather. Penn State is coming to town on Friday night. and then they play Richmond on Sunday afternoon. Field hockey, Louisville is coming to town on Friday, and then Penn State on Sunday afternoon. And then women's volleyball, they got a weekend tournament in Charlottesville, playing Marshall, JMU, and Montana.
All right. We have about 2 minutes here.
What do you think is going to happen on Saturday?
You know, I think Virginia is going to be well prepared for this game. I think people are going to be very impressed by the effort given by every single player on this team. I think these veteran coaches, they're not going to play anybody that isn't ready. And I think the kids are going to play their hearts out. I expect good punting from Alec Vezinalik. He's got a lot of high fives, and if he can pin Brigham Young deep and make them drive the field, I think our defense is good enough to hold them maybe to field goals. The key to this game, I think, is David Watford. Can he make good decisions, not turn over the ball? Can the offensive line get some nice run lanes for Kevin Parks? And Virginia's receivers have got to hang on to the balls that Watford throws to the right spots. And I'm gonna say this is an upset. I'm gonna call Virginia 27-23. Virginia beats the Cougars.
Yeah, and I think you made a key point. Watford not turning the ball over, the running backs not coughing it up, or the receivers, because certainly you don't want to give Brigham Young a short field against this somewhat inexperienced defense. But no, I think Virginia's going to be ready to play. It should be a fun day, and I think the game's almost sold out, right? What do you got, Mr. Sill?
Yeah, I'm just excited it's football. I've been chomping at the bit. It's been a brutal summer not having football, and I'm just excited to have it back. My prediction, Jim Shannon's going to make some killer whiskey sours at the tailgate, and I guess there's a football game, but I think UVA pulls it out, something like 27-24. I like Watford a lot.
Right, I think we find a way.
All right, so next week we've got former UVA quarterback and NFL star Aaron Brooks, former UVA linebacker John Copper, and either Dr. Gordy Rawls, Thorpe Davis, Vince Dalton, or David Nediff.
And we're back on at 6 o'clock next week.
We're back to our regular time next Monday night at 6 o'clock. Who's talking? Go up there to Charlottesville. This is a great game. If you're not at this game, you're a doofus.
And I think it's supposed to be like sunny and 81. Perfect day.
Perfect weather. See you next week. Looking forward to it.
All right, thanks for listening. Yeah, go Hoos.